Now, we've heard already on the programme this morning from Venezuela, Colombia and Iran, countries which Donald Trump has already removed or threatened to remove its leaders. Another country is Greenland, the vast Arctic island part of the Kingdom of Denmark. It sits around 3,200 kilometres to the northeast of the US, and the United States already has a military base there. But now President Trump wants the whole island, he says, for national security reasons. He told journalists that the region is covered with Russian and Chinese ships all over the place. The self-governing Greenland is rich in rare earth minerals, crucial for the production of smartphones, electric vehicles and military hardware. Well, just hours after he ordered the seizure of Nicolas Maduro, Mr. Trump repeated that he wanted Greenland too, to which the Danish Prime Minister responded, "Stop the threats." So what stance will the rest of the EU take on this? Well, we're joined by Suzanne Lynch, Brussels Bureau Chief for Bloomberg. Suzanne, thanks for taking our call. The EU's response to Maduro first, I mean, there was no condemnation, there was no even criticism really of the US attack and seizure on Venezuela. Spain stood out alone in dissenting. Why have the rest been so quiet?
Well, I think, Audrey, there's a very clear reason why this is the case, that they took this cautious stance, if you like. And it's because of Ukraine. I think this is happening. The dramatic events of the weekend are coinciding with a key moment for Ukraine and Russia. Just today, the allies are meeting in Paris for a key meeting on Ukraine. And they really feel like they were close to getting some kind of a peace deal. Zelensky himself said it was 90% done. He said that just before Christmas. I think, quite frankly, Europe are afraid of scaring off United States at the point where they feel that they are trying to get some commitments from them. And what they're looking for is security guarantees that the US will remain committed to NATO and to Ukraine in some way with some tangibles in the event of a peace deal with Russia. So I think that's the reason. It's pure politics. They are reluctant to criticise Donald Trump for this reason. However, as you're saying there, and it's absolutely correct, the fresh rhetoric about Greenland, because it was only about 48 hours almost after the capture of Maduro that Trump began to talk a lot about Greenland. That now is generating fresh concern across Europe, because this is actually Donald Trump talking about potentially annexing a part of Europe, a part of Denmark.
So can they stay quiet on that one?
I think it's going to be much more difficult to stay quiet on that one. Now, yesterday, the European Commission gave their first comments about Donald Trump's comments on Greenland, and they were quick to stress that they didn't see any comparison between Venezuela and Greenland, saying that Greenland was a part of NATO, it's a part of Denmark, that it didn't have the same threats, for example, you know, drugs, etc., that Donald Trump has cited as one of the reasons he went into Venezuela. But even overnight, we saw more language from Trump advisor Stephen Miller in an interview with CNN, again doubling down on this threat about Greenland. So I think what's significant now is the Danish Prime Minister, Mette Frederiksen, said last night that she is now very, very concerned that it's been taken seriously, that these Donald Trump threats are being taken very, very seriously by Denmark.
But what would happen if the US planted its flag on Greenland, Suzanne, Denmark being a NATO member and all?
Yeah, this is one of the big conundrums. So NATO is a defence alliance. Members of NATO are obliged to defend each other. But it becomes a little more unclear when one of those members attacks another member. It's not clear on that. It's also not clear if Donald Trump or the United States would feel bound by the rules of NATO, or if they would see those as optional when it comes to Greenland. So there are some of the issues that are facing the Danes in particular and the rest of Europe. I mean, technically, militarily, I don't think there's any sense that Europe could, you know, defend Greenland, as it were. Obviously, the United States is by far the biggest member of NATO. That's been the problem as the Europeans have been trying to develop a Ukraine strategy. They've realised that they need the United States, even though things have changed over the last couple of years and most of the big NATO members have increased their military spending. But of course, the other question is, would the rest of Europe go in and support Denmark on this? You know, Greenland is a semi-autonomous territory of 57,000 people. I think it's interesting some of the language we're hearing from America as well as parts of Europe. the future of Greenland is up to the people of Greenland and the people of Denmark. So, you know, could we have a situation where there's a referendum in Greenland, that there's some suggestions from the Americans that the Greenland people themselves need to express their views on this? It's not quite as cut and dry, obviously, that it's part of the mainland continental Europe. And of course, Donald Trump has talked about the Western Hemisphere. Greenland is very, very close geographically to North America. That's the other reality here.
Suzanne, thank you very much. Suzanne Lynch, Brussels Bureau Chief with Bloomberg. We're back after the break.